Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Y'all pray for me this week as I put together a message for Wednesday. We're going to stay in Jonah. That's where we are. We're journeying through Jonah. We find ourselves in chapter 2 this morning. And I believe God's working all the time. And He's involved in the most minute details of our lives. God's working everything together for our good and His glory. And so we find ourselves under the disciplining hand of God in Jonah chapter 2. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said that God doesn't let His children sin successfully. What a great statement. And I remember whenever I was doing something as a child growing up that I wasn't supposed to be doing, I eventually had to deal with Big Daddy from Cincinnati. That was my father. And so, you know, and Hebrews chapter 12 talks about, in verses 6 and 7, talks about the disciplining hand of God. If you're one of God's children and you get out of His will and you're running from living in direct disobedience against Him, you're going to find yourself in the Lord's woodshed. Y'all ever been to the woodshed? You don't want God to take you there, I'm telling you. And so that's where Jonah finds himself. And, you know, he was running from God, and then God sent a storm. Jonah was thrown into the sea. Then we saw how he was drowning last week. And all of a sudden, this huge, tremendous, great, big, tremendous fish swallowed him up. Jonah is in a whale of a mess. Pardon the pun, but he's in deep trouble. And in chapter 2, I believe, is one of the most intimate passages in all of Scripture. It's an amazing account of how God delivers people when they come to Him in repentance and faith. And so, could you just... Is it okay? Can we stand one more time in honor of God's Word? I know some of y'all are like me. Your knees are creaking and groaning and moaning and your ankles aren't holding up well, but... Anyways, let's honor the Lord's Word. I want to start there at verse 17 in chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish. How long? And we talked about that last Sunday morning. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord and his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Father, would you apply your word to our hearts now? God, help us to have the courage to say yes. Anytime the word of God is read or taught or preached, there's a response on our behalf. And so, Lord, give us the faith to be obedient to what you're telling us to do here. And when we leave here, we'll all know that we've been in your presence. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. All right. First thing I see in verses 1 through 6 is Jonah's distress. We talked last week about this. We have positive proof that someone can live in the belly of a great big fish. Back in 1891, off the coast of the Falkland Islands, the great steamliner, it was a whale ship, and I believe it was called the Star of the East, and they had a man on board by the name of James Bartley, and they had spotted this huge sperm whale off the coast of the Falkland Islands. So they move over there and they harpoon this whale, and it was a tremendous battle. And James Bartley, in the middle of this battle with this huge fish, fell overboard. And they just assumed, the crew just assumed that he drowned. Well, a day and a half later, they were opening up this fish and cutting him up in pieces, and guess who's still alive? James Bartley. He was unconscious. His face and the back of his neck and his hands and his feet were all bleached stark white. But he lived to tell about living in the, and he said, you know, it was hot as you know what in that fish's belly. But he said, I somehow knew I was going to make. And so it is possible to live in the belly of a great big fish. And so that's where Jonah finds himself. He's been running from God. And whenever we run from God, the only direction you're going to go is where? Down, down, down. He went down to the ship. To board the ship in Joppa. Then he went down under the deck, and then he went down into the sea, down, 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 until all of a sudden this huge fish comes along and look. And that's where Jonah finds himself. He's been running from God. Now, look what Jonah in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 does. He begins to pray earnestly. He begins to pray earnestly and fervently. How many of y'all, if you found yourself in the belly of a great whale or some big huge fish, would begin to pray? I think most of y'all probably would. And he's not just praying earnestly, he's praying fervently and passionately. And you read between the lines there in verses 1 and 2. And you know what really bothers me though? Why did Jonah wait to pray until he found himself in the belly of this huge fish? It was only when he found himself in great difficulty that he began to pray earnestly. Verse 2 says, I cried out to the Lord. Why do we wait until our world has fallen apart before we begin to pray? Why do we do that? I mean, why do we wait till the spouse runs out on us before we begin to pray? Why do we wait until that son or daughter's in trouble before we begin to pray? Why do we wait until the doctor comes in with the bad news and before we begin to pray? Why is that? And I want to tell you what we need to do is, now, we need to quit waiting and start praying. Well, this side got it and they got it. Let me say it to y'all. We need to quit waiting and start praying. And not just any kind of praying, not these little church prayers we pray. Jonah's doing what? He's crying out to God fervently. And I want to tell you, in the times and the season that we're in today, there's Teddy and Belinda back off vacation. I've been praying y'all get back. Amen. We need to pray fervently and passionately. And that's the, you know, I was in the backyard working late yesterday afternoon, and my son was cutting the grass. I was weed eating, and I heard this loud scream from him. You didn't even know I heard that, did you? And then I ran around to the side of the house, because whenever I hear my son scream and cry, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to run to him, because I was thinking, oh goodness, the mower's fell on top of him or something's happened. But his mom was out there trying to tell him something, and he was screaming because he couldn't hear what she was saying. Is that right? Did I get that right? All right. So when we cry out to God like that, though, my point is this. It gets His attention. And every time in the Bible when you see a person, a nation, a family, anybody that's crying out passionately and fervently to God, God comes running. And those are the days that we're living in, my brothers and sisters. Clarksville, Tennessee is in a mess. We are in a huge mess. And it is time that the church began to pray. Look at your neighbor and say, let's pray. So, he's praying fervently. And by the way, do you remember, now Jonah thought he was dying. And I would have thought the same thing. But do you remember Simon Peter's prayer? When he was going down into the Sea of Galilee. You know, there was two men that walked on the water that night. One was Jesus, the other was Simon Peter. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and got his eyes on the storm, you remember what happened to Simon Peter? He starts going down, and you remember what he cried out? Master, save me! That's the kind of prayer that we need to be praying. So he's praying fervently, but notice this, Jonah is also praying scripturally. Look at verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings. And that word there means the bottom or the foundations of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the gift, O Lord, from the pit, O Lord, my God. In this prayer, Jonah is quoting Scripture. How many of you quote Scripture to the Lord when you're praying? Anybody, y'all do that? I would encourage you to begin memorizing Scripture and pray God's Word back to Him. Because when you're doing that, you are going to find yourself smack dab in the middle of God's Word. If God's already told us something and we remind Him of it, you can't really remind God of anything. But when we claim that Scripture and pray it back to Him, you're going to get an amazing answer to prayer. And so Jesus, you remember when He was on the cross, those seven last saints, all of those are scriptural prayers. He was quoting Scripture. And so what does that say to Cal Hampton? I need to get the Word of God into my heart so that I can pray God's Word back to Him. I cried comes from Psalm 18:6. There in verse 2. Jonah said, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You know, Jonah, here's the reason for Jonah's disobedience. Jonah wanted the Ninevites to go to hell. And so you know what God did? He carved out a little suburb of hell for Jonah so that Jonah might experience a little bit of what hell's like. And I want to tell you, we need to get a little taste of hell. Because if we did, our hearts would burn for lost people and unchurched people. I can hear Brother Shep right now. He'd be sitting right there. That's right, son. Go ahead and preach. Now, we need to... Brother Lewis, I don't even know if we really believe in hell anymore. Because if we really did... If we really did... How would that change us? How many of you have a family member that's headed that direction? A lot of you. How many of you have a friend or a co-worker that's headed that direction? Well, I pray that God would give us a vision of what hell's like. Because He didn't create that place for us. He created that place for the devil and his angels. And so He gave Jonah just a taste of what it's like. Verse 3, He says, for you cast me into the deep. That comes from Psalm 42:7. Look at those personal pronouns there in verse 3. He said, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. God is the one who cast Jonah into the sea. God swept those waves over Jonah's head. There's no accidents, brothers and sisters. God's in control. He's sovereign. And God's working behind the scenes. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I want to tell you, God's working behind the scenes of your life. You can't see what He's doing, but He's going to accomplish His providential will in your life and in mine. He's at work. He's at work in Jonah's life. The disciplining hand of God is upon him. Now, look at verse 5. He said, the water surrounded me even to my soul. That's taken from Psalm 69 in verse 1. In verse 6, he says, I went down to the moorings of the mountain. That comes from Psalm 116:3. When Jonah was sinking into the depths of the ocean, he thought he was a goner, but he cried out to God and quoted God's Word right back to the Lord. And one of the best things you can do, again, for your prayer life, is to quote Scripture to give it right back to the Lord. It not only focuses our prayers, but it grabs the great big heart of God. And when you're praying, claim those Scriptures. Father, You said You would supply all my needs according to Your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, You said You would never leave me nor forsake me. Father, You said whosoever would call upon Your name, that they would be saved. When you're praying, quote those Scriptures, claim those Scriptures, and pray them back to God. Are y'all with me? All right, so much for Jonah's distress, let's look at Jonah's decision. Now, look again at verse 4. He said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I'll look again toward what? Your holy temple. Jump down to verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Now, anytime the Word of God repeats something, the biblical author is trying to get something through to you. And what's been repeated here twice? Let's read it again. Yet I look again toward your what? Holy temple. Verse 7. And my prayer went up to you where? Into your holy temple. This is Jonah's decision. And he's making one of the best decisions in the worst situation of his life. This is a great decision. He's turning back towards God's presence. That's the reference there to the holy temple. Jonah knew he was out of God's will. Let me just say, if you're out of God's will today, it's not as far back to Him as you might think. Just looking... Oh, but thank you, brother. It is just as close as looking to God's presence. You see, God's presence in those days was found where? That's right, in the temple. And so he's looking towards, by faith, with a repentant spirit now, toward the holy temple. And I want to tell you, how many of you understand you'll find what you need when you look to God? Will you? How many of you have been in a tough situation? And part of it was probably because of an ignorant decision that you'd made, a bad choice. I know, I am the poster child for this. There have been times in my life where I made some really poor decisions and I found myself in a pickle and I had really messed things up, and all of a sudden I begin to cry out to God, God! And you know what He'll do? He'll hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. Our God is a God of second chance. But oh mercy, would we just listen to Him in the first place and call out to Him again and again. Jonah's making the best decision in his life to return to the Lord. And you know what? The devil is so slick, isn't he? He's got a lot of lies because he's a liar. But here's lie number one that he'll tell folks. Listen, just go ahead and try this. It'll be okay. Just go ahead and do it. And if you don't like it, you don't have to have it. It's okay. And then whatever that is, you jump in and try. And the next lie you're going to hear, oh, you've done it now, you'll never be able to go back. He is a liar. And every time he's got his mouth open, he's lying to God's children. Now, do you remember the prodigal son? Just to bring in another illustration here. You remember him? He was the catch meow up there at the father's house. He had everything he needed, everything he ever wanted. But yet he said, I, me, and he left. And you remember where his rebellion led him? For a Jewish boy, where was the worst place you could wind up? That's right, in a stinking pigsty. And he got to looking around at all the mess and the mire and the slop and the stench. And, well, you know what? Even my daddy's servants have it better than I do. And the Bible says he got up and went in the direction of his father's house. And when he got up to the house, what did the father do? Yeah. Some of y'all are here this morning, and you need to make the same decision Jonah made. You need to make the same decision the prodigal son made. And I want to tell you, our God, if you come to Him with a repentant spirit, God will receive anyone. I'm living proof of that. God will use anyone, anywhere, anytime that comes to Him. I don't care where you've been. Listen to me. Somebody needs to hear this today. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't even care who you've done it with. If you'll come to Christ with a repentant spirit, not just sorry you got caught, but sorry that you sinned against Him and others, God, the most worn out verse in my Bible is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from a few of our sins? All of our sins. Isn't God good? Somebody give Him some praise in here today. Hallelujah. So Jonah's making the best decision of his life in the worst situation in his life. But now let's look at Jonah's deliverance. Verse 8. Now this is... Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, in verse 2, Jonah said, "You heard me." In verse 6, Jonah said, "You brought me up." And do you know what kept Jonah from drowning? It was that great big fish that God sent. And in the belly of that fish, Jonah remembered God and looked by faith to Him for deliverance. Deliverance comes from God. Jump on over. There's a great verse over here in chapter 4, verse 2. Look at this because it reminds us we can remember that God is full of goodness. Look at Jonah 4 and verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that You are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Jonah knew in deep down in his spirit and in his soul that God was a good God. God's full of mercy. He's full of grace. How many of you know God is good? Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, God's good. Somebody here today needs to hear that God is good. How often? And all the time what? Y'all know that old song, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jonah has basically been acting like a lost man, living like a sinner instead of a saint. And he had forfeited that grace that God had given to him. And in verse 8, he reveals that Jonah had come to his senses. And he's talking there about idols. And I just got to say a word about idols because we've all got them. An idol is anything that's more important to you than your relationship with God. You know what Jonah's idol was? Jonah was a patriot. And patriotism was his idol. That is a timely word today. Some of your politics is more important to you than your relationship with Christ. Some of us are spending more time with CNN and Fox News than we are in the Scriptures. God help us. What idols do you have in your life? Anything that's more of a priority than your walk with the Lord is an idol. And you know, idols aren't anything. I mean, idols may have eyes, but they can't see. Idols may have feet, but they can't walk. Idols got arms, but they can't use them. An idol is anything. And so for Jonah, patriotism, he would have rather have died than do what God was calling him to do. God wanted him to go preach a message of turn or burn, repent or perish to the people of Nineveh. And he hated the Ninevites so much because he didn't want to go preach God's message to them because they were Israel's enemies. Have you got that? And so his own patriotism was an idol in his life. And so he's running now from the idols and he's asking for God's mercy. And I've come here to tell Second Mile today, if you'll come to the Lord today with a repentant spirit and if you'll look to Jesus by faith, mercy will come running to you. Mercy, I think about that song that was popular a few years ago. Mercy came running like a prisoner set free. Past all my failures to the point of my need. When I could not find mercy, mercy found me. Hallelujah. God's grace. know why in the world we make these decisions. The devil wants to give us pain and sorrow and guilt and shame and embarrassment, and addiction and sorrow and loneliness. And yet on the other hand, God wants to give us forgiveness, love, peace, joy, purpose, and heaven besides all this. How good God is. What a God of grace He is. And then just remember that God's not only full of goodness and grace, He's full of glory. And Jonah begins to give God glory and thanksgiving for his deliverance. And look what he says there. In verse 9, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, I don't know, you know, as a pastor and a preacher, I'm privy to hear things that not everybody gets to hear. But I want to tell you, I've heard more promises go up to the Lord. God, if you'll just bring my son home, I'll do this. God, if you'll just heal me from this, I'll do that. God, if you will, I will. Everybody in here has probably made some kind of vow or some kind of promise to the Lord. I know you did at your baptistry. You made some vows and promises to the Lord. How's that going for you? Many of you all have children, and you brought your children to an altar somewhere, and you gave them to the Lord. You keeping your vow? What promises have you made to God? Some of y'all have made promises to begin to become a tither. Are you staying faithful to that promise to the Lord? I reminded Justin and Amy a couple of weeks ago as they were making those promises to the Lord. They were not only making those vows and covenant promises to one another, they're making them to the Lord. What promises and vows do you need to keep this morning? And you know, God is the one that is worthy to make promises to. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. I didn't do anything to get my salvation. God did it for me. And I am trusting in His finished work today. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to make some type of vow or some type of promise to begin a relationship with God today. You know what God will do for you? Look what He did for Jonah. He set Jonah free. That old fish, I don't know who was happier when that great big fish spit Jonah out. I don't know if the whale was happy or Jonah was happy. But He spit him out, not in the sea, where? Whatever your need is today, my friend, God is able to meet that need. Some of you all here today, you need salvation. Oh, you may have even been saved or supposedly saved, but your life's never really been turned around. You're no different today than when you first claimed to have met Him and that water in the baptistry came out of some river or some city water supply and it didn't save you. And you know today that you need to be born again. You need to be saved. But God brought you here today so that you might do that. And the Bible says if you'd be willing like Jonah to repent of your sin and by faith look to what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago and surrender to Him by calling on His name, anybody here can walk out of here a born-again believer. Anybody. Anybody. And the rest of the message is for those of us that are saved. Are you smack dab in the center of God's will today? Or are you running from Him? Are you living in some area of disobedience? You know, folks, God's not waiting on Clarksville to come to Him. He's waiting on His church to get right. And if we'll get right with God, He'll use us to turn this city upside down. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this season in our church. It's a time of where You're stretching us. It's a time where we're stepping out of our comfort zone. And it's a season of discipline. It's a season of challenge. And I believe there are folks here this morning that need to make some type of public decision for Christ. Can't be a private, secret Christian. Not for long. There's someone here that needs to take their stand for Christ. And there's many of us here, Lord, that need to come in a season of repentance, spirit of forgiveness, get something right with You once and for all. Don't let us worry about what somebody else might think. Get us past that mess and just help us to say yes to You. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. If you want to pray and receive Christ today, I'll be here at the front. You can do it right there in your seat. If you've got business to do with the Lord, we've got an old-fashioned altar here. This is a great place to get right with God. Our prayer warriors will come and pray over you. If you need some help, some counseling, that kind of thing, we'll take care of that. But the ball's in your court, friend. You got to come. Let's all stand and sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.